Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Elijah, I'm not going to go through the story of Elijah about Rumble on Carmel Mountain, because that's not the point of the text this morning. But in summary, if there could be just a quick summary, Elijah, an Old Testament prophet, felt like he was all alone, and God's people weren't following God, had walked away from God, and had been involved in idolatry to a false god named Baal, very closely associated with Asherah. And there's this point where Elijah confronts all of the people and essentially said, I didn't know they'd be so loud, right? Is anybody else noticing that? Yeah, okay. You know, I remember when I was a kid and I would open a candy in church and everybody, shh, shh. So we can hear it and it's okay. We'll just release that. So Elijah says to the people of God, and hopefully we have this on the screen, 1 Kings 18:21, they're gathered and says this. Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. And the people answered, not a word. And so he has this confrontation with 450 prophets of this god Baal, and the other prophets from Asher are there as well, and they're on the top of Mount Carmel. And they have an altar. They have two separate altars that have been built, and the deal was this: the God who answers by fire, he is God. And they said, okay, let it be that way. And so the prophets of Baal would spend all day praying and sacrificing, even cutting themselves, the Bible says, to try and somehow get Baal's attention that he would answer by fire. Nothing happened. Elijah goes to the other altar, the altar of the Lord. He repairs it. He pours water on it over and over and over. This has been a time of drought for 3.5 years, and he's pouring this precious water on the altar. And before he barely gets the prayer out, a sentence prayer, God answers by fire. Fire comes down, it consumes the altar, it consumes the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, licks up the dust, and there's this tremendous victory. It's at that moment, it hasn't rained in 3.5 years, and Elijah says to the king who is there, he says, go up, eat, and drink, for there is the sound of the abundance of rain. Now, it hasn't rained since Elijah 3.5 years ago said it wouldn't rain. And so there's been this drought. And now he says there's a sound of the abundance of rain. He can hear it before he can see it. And there is something about being able to hear spiritually before we see something physically in the natural realm. And so that's what took place. He said, go do that. It's going to rain. And then he begins to pray. And he gets on his knees and prays once for it to rain. And it doesn't. Sends his servant out to look at the ocean. Is there any rain? Look on the horizon. Any rain? Nothing. Over and over and over again, 7 times he continues to be on his knees. Finally, a cloud appears. Scripture says the size of a man's hand. So in the distance, that's what he sees, a cloud. He says, you better run because it's going to pour. And it's a very interesting lesson in prayer, because we see that it's not the power of prayer. It's the power in the one you're praying to. Right? Because if it was the power of prayer, 450 prophets of Baal would have won. But Elijah prayed to God. Fire came down. Rain. And then sometimes we get into the mentality of, as soon as we pray, we should see the answer. Elijah, look, it just happened. Follow the story along, and we see him praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. It takes 7 times for anything to happen. Here we are. That's the Cliff Notes version of what took place. But here's the text I want to look at this morning. 1 Kings chapter 19. All of that's found in 1 Kings chapter 18. Here we go. Verse 1. And Ahab, this is the king, told Jezebel, his wife, all that Elijah had done and how he executed all the prophets with the sword. That's what happened after. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Tell Elijah I'm going to kill him. There's a bounty out. There's a hit coming. Verse 3. When he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left a servant there. Verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. We would know it as a juniper tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my father's. Then he lay and slept under a broom tree. Suddenly an angel touched him and said, arise and eat. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. It's interesting. We'll probably come back to that about the 40 days, 40 nights and Horeb, the mountain of God. See, for Elijah, he was physically and emotionally exhausted. There was a tremendous spiritual victory that took place, but he was tapped out, and he collapsed under this tree. Not only is he physically exhausted, he's emotionally wrecked. And he collapses and he goes to sleep. It's essentially saying, it's over. It's enough. I am done. Have you ever been there? Exhausted? Spent, done like dinner, out of gas, just physically and emotionally, I got nothing left. And it may even come on the tails of a great victory. Doesn't have to be just everything has been so horrible. So it happened for Elijah. Just tremendous victory, but now Jezebel seeks his life, and he's like, I'm out of here. This is how it ends. This is how it ended up. This great victory that God brought. And now he's out for blood. And he says this, I'm no better than my father's. And so he'd be referring to the prophets that have gone before him. I'm no better than them either in effectiveness, because look at how this is rolled out. He's looking for my life, or in condition. I'm done. And he's awakened by an angel. And the angel says, arise and eat, because this journey that you're on, it's too much for you. It's too hard for you. And the angel gives him bread and water, freshly baked bread, still on the coals, and fresh water in a jar. I don't know if it had a little umbrella in it or not. But for those who are listening today, maybe you found your journey is too much. Maybe you found the journey too much, too hard. Maybe you're physically tired. Maybe you're watching online. You're emotionally spent. You're out of gas. You've got nothing left. I would say from these verses, loved ones, God has provision for you. God has provision for you. You can't make it on your own strength, but it's okay. You don't have to. God has provision for your journey, the journey that you're on. And bread and water may sound a lot like prison. Really? That's what you got? Well, then clearly you have not had fresh baked bread. Can you smell it right now? Just walking by a bakery. Oh my, what is that? I always thought if girls really wanted to attract guys, they just put a little, you know, fresh baked bread or something. Just like, what is that? That's essence of sourdough. That's something. Or perhaps you've never drank water from an Italian artesian well. The clarity, the freshness. I do wonder when he woke up and there was a fresh baked bread on the coals. Okay, you did that. You could have done a lasagna, you know, or something. But it was bread and water. But the beauty of the picture is this: Jesus said that he's the bread of life. And Jesus said, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And that there would be a water that Jesus has for us that would satisfy God's journey. God's provision for the journey that you're on. And I believe this, as I see it for Elijah, and we're going to see it, I believe it's true for you today. God has provision for you in his word. He has a word for you, provision in his word. He has this for you. See, Elijah is now in the wilderness, right? He left Mount Carmel. He's headed towards Mount Horeb. He's in the wilderness where we saw over 1 million people be fed bread from heaven as Moses was in the wilderness. We saw water come from a rock for potentially over 1 million people, the Exodus, the wilderness wanderings. But this isn't that. This is just for one. This is just for one prophet. It's just for Elijah. Sometimes we look and we say, God, in all of his bigness and all of his provision, you know what? His eye is on just the one. His eye is on just you, and he's got provision for you today. Verse 9 says this. Then he went to a cave. So he's arrived at Mount Horeb. It says he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? I don't know if that was the tone or the inflection, but what are you doing here? He said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. The children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. Torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. We read that like, oh, this is what happened. Can you imagine standing out there and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord? But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, here it is, a still, small voice. He comes to Mount Horeb, and he hides in a cave, and God's word finds him. And it says that the word of the Lord came to him and said. Sometimes we look so hard for something in God's word. God, just show me. And sometimes it just makes it a whole lot easier. The word of the Lord came to him. You've opened scripture, and God just speaks to your heart. It just finds us. That happened to me this week. I got an email this week that just rattled me. Just out of the blue, out of nowhere, and shook me, and it caused a panic attack. I don't know if you've ever experienced a sudden, you know, something happens, and all of a sudden you can't breathe. and it wasn't just such a horrible email, anything like that, but it was a trigger. It was a trigger, and there was a panic attack. And I just thought, Lord, I need a word from you. I need a word from you. I need you to speak to me. And so what I did is I had already spent time with the Lord, morning devotions, reading the Bible. I thought, I'm not just going to go to my Bible and flip through, oh God, where is it? And just, I just went back to what I already read that morning, because I thought God already knew what my day would hold. And so I'm going to go back and look again at what I read. And sure enough, there was strength in his word for that moment. Sometimes the word of the Lord just comes to us, and that's what happened to Elijah. It just came to it. And this week, strength came from his word just like that. But God brings Elijah out of the cave, says, come out, I want to show you something. Wind, earthquake, fire, a whole lot of shaking. And it says God was not in any of those things. And God was not in the wind. God was not in the earthquake. God wasn't in the fire. And then God spoke to Elijah in a still, small voice. A still, small voice, do you know what that means? It means a whisper. It means a whisper. God spoke to him in a whisper. He was that close, close enough. God came close enough that Elijah could hear him speak in a whisper. And what's very interesting is the location of where we are. Just by way of illustration, and then we'll come back to this, but by way of illustration, In the New Testament, when we see activity around the area of Galilee, there's a body of water there. It's called the Sea of Galilee. It's where Jesus walked on water. It's where we find the disciples fishing. It's where we see the storm calmed. The Sea of Galilee. Unless you're standing in Tiberias. And if you're in the city of Tiberias and looking at, you know what you call that body of water? You call it the Sea of Tiberias. Unless you're over here at Gennesaret, you call it the Lake of Gennesaret. It's the same body of water, the Sea of Galilee. So the reason why I say, by way of example, if you're coming from Mount Carmel to this mountain, you call it Mount Horeb. If you're coming from Egypt to this mountain, do you know what you call it? Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai. It's the same mountain that Moses went up for the Ten Commandments, and it's the same mountain where, you know what there was? There was earthquake, there was wind, there was fire, there was rumbling, and the people ran and said, Moses, you talk to God and then tell us what he said, because we're not getting near that. Exodus 33, verse 21. It's where Moses met with God. Exodus 33, verse 21 says this. And the Lord said, this is to Moses. Here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I'll take my hand away. You'll see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Moses had said, God, I want to see your glory. God said, you couldn't handle it. But I'll let you see just a glimpse of my goodness. I'll cover you here. And here is Elijah running to Mount Horeb. Mount Sinai, expecting to find God, but God shows up in a way that he was not expecting. Right? The God of Mount Sinai is thunder and lightning and earthquake and fire, and all of those things happened, and God wasn't in any of it for Elijah. Instead, he drew close enough to hear him whisper. And so Elijah, he ran for fear of the enemy, fear for his life, to a place where Moses met God. But instead, Elijah had a very intimate moment with God, and God showed up in a way that he wasn't expecting. And loved ones, God can draw so close to you that you can hear his whisper. Sometimes we want the earth to shake. We want the skies to part. We want the big flash and dash. We want something. God, show me how to get through this. God, show me the answer. God, I need your presence. God, I need breakthrough. And sometimes God just draws close and will strengthen us with a whisper. And we know this, that not only did God have provision for Elijah that would carry him through 40 days. How long was Moses up on the mountain? 40 days. That'll carry you through. He not only had provision, he also had presence. He was with him. He was with Elijah, the presence of God. But not only was there provision for the journey, God can give us strength. Strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. Not only does he give us provision, not only does he bring his presence, but he also has purpose for us. Remember Elijah, I'm done. I'm out. Just let me die. We're done. Let me die. Watch what God says as we continue. Verse 13. So it was when Elijah heard it. Heard what? Still small voice. He wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And suddenly the voice came to him and said, what? What are you doing here? And he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets by the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. That's what I'm here. I'm running away. Then the Lord said to him, now watch this. Get out of here. Go. Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, where, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria.
You shall also anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elijah, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as a prophet in your place. In your place. And it shall be whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. Whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. He says, yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal.
You are not the only one.
And every mouth that has not kissed him.
He says, go, Elijah, go. You've got more to accomplish. If you're not dead, you're not done. And that's for all of us. If you're not dead, you're not done. Doesn't matter how old. If you're not dead, you're not done.
God, you've got some things to accomplish.
Wouldn't it be nice if he would have just said, why don't you just stay here in this intimate moment with me? You just hear my voice and just rest and you can stay here. No, you've been appointed as a prophet of God. You've got a mandate. You've got a mission. What are you doing here? This is different than Moses. This isn't what I called you to. The reason why he's there is because he ran. Now you need to go back to your assignment where I had you. I'm so glad that even though when Elijah gave up on God's plan, God did not give up on Elijah and met him in a way that he wasn't expecting. Elijah was directed by God, go do this. You've got a couple kings to anoint and you've got an apprentice to appoint. So there's more for you to complete your assignment. And I think that's true for all of us, is that we've got an assignment to take God's anointing, take God's touch to others. He's got an assignment on our lives to bring the presence of God, his touch, his love, his life to others. And to bring some other people along with us. We're all part of discipleship. We're all part of mentoring. We're all part of taking what God has given us and imparting it to others. You know, it's a very ironic story that Elijah just wanted to die, and he was one of the only two people in the Old Testament who didn't. God sent a heavenly Uber, angels, chariots of fire, and picked him up. And of all the five-star Uber ratings, that's probably the five-starriest. But loved ones, I'm going to close with this. God's provision. He said to Elijah, the journey's too hard for you. Make it on your own strength. And so God provided. And for you, for us, the journey is too hard for us. We need his strength. Isaiah will talk about even though the young men will faint and fail. Even those who've just got so much strength and so much energy, it's limited. And we will tap out. Isaiah will say, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. And God has strength for you. If you're weary, if you're tired, if you're exhausted, if you're feeling like you could collapse under a tree, and you just want to give up, God has provision for you. Secondly, it's not just provision. He's so gracious to do that. But like he did for Elijah, God's got presence for you. His presence to draw near to you, to hear his voice, to hear his whisper. In the Old Testament, there was a prophecy that talked about who Jesus would be. And one of the names that he was called was Emmanuel. And the reason why he was called that is because God with us. Not God above us. God with us. And he is still God with us. He has provision for you for the journey. You don't have to make it on your own. He has strength for you. Supernatural strength. He has his presence for you. The Bible says he would never leave us or forsake us. He's as close. There used to be a song we'd sing. He's as close as the mention of his name. Jesus. Call upon him. He's close. He will whisper to your heart what you need to hear. And he's got provision, he's got presence, but he's also got purpose for you. If you're not dead, you're not done. He's got more of a mandate on you. We don't just hang out on the planet to take up space. He has a mandate on your life to reach your world with his touch, with his love, and to pour into somebody else. For when we go, there's somebody else with the same mandate, with the same calling, to reach people with the good news of the gospel. We'll go ahead and pray this morning. Team, I'm going to invite you to come and join me. God, your word talks about that all scripture is inspired by you, is that you breathed it, and it's profitable for us. And so, God, thank you for this story, at least a summarized story of Elijah. And God, we're so grateful that we can learn from it. God, I pray that you would just go beyond my efforts of a sermon, and you'd really just, by your Spirit, speak to our hearts today. God, there's so much that I can't do, but Lord, you can. You can settle some things in us about your provision. God, for these loved ones gathered and those watching online, we recognize that there's lots of points in our lives where we need provision. Maybe we're just so exhausted and spent in a relationship that we're in that's just been going so sideways. God, we need your provision and strength. God, maybe we don't know where our next meal is going to come from or how we're going to pay our bills. God, you've got provision for us. God, whatever point of need, your word says that Jesus, you would supply all of our need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And so, God, I pray for my friends, I pray for these loved ones, God, that you would provide at every point of our need. And it's not just my prayer. God, I know that's your heart because we're your kids and you love us just head over heels. So God, thank you for your provision. I pray that even like when he said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain and didn't yet see it, God, I pray you'd give us faith to hear your provision even before it shows up. God, for those who are just discouraged, find themselves in a place, and it's not only you saying, why am I here? But they say, how did I get here? How did my life turn out like this? God, you whispered to Elijah, that still small voice. God, I pray you'd whisper to each one now. Something of your love, something of your promise, most of all of your presence, that you could just draw near. And they would hear from you. And God, maybe just like me, where I needed a word from you in your word, God, I pray that you would speak a word to us from your word. And that there would be strength because your words are spirit and they're life. We don't have anywhere else to go. Your word says that you have the words of eternal life. God, you'd speak, just speak and whisper to our hearts today. And God, for those who feel like, where do I fit? Where do I fit in ministry? Where do I fit in life? What am I doing? Just spinning my wheels or what's the point? God, I pray you would reveal your purpose and plan for them. God, just simplicity, not complex, but and maybe not even the whole plan, but just at least the next step. Your word says that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so God, just the next step, would you light the next step? You said to Elijah, go back to where you were. God, maybe for some of us, we need to go back to the last place we felt really close with you. Or we need to return to where you had us. But God, I pray just for clarity, for purpose, for how we're to touch others with your love, how we're to pour ourselves into others to make a difference in this world in which we live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.